Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. They went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As the iconic church steeple fell, people looked on in bewilderment and horror, hopeless. That's how many felt this past Monday as flames engulfed the 1,200-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Firefighters found it difficult to get to the church, built on an island, as so many had gathered to watch centuries of art and history go up in flames. I was in the car listening to news coverage on the radio, and I was struck by CNN's Wolf Blitzer. As he spoke live with a reporter on the scene, you could hear an unexpected sound in the background. I heard it over the radio, and I found it compelling. Wolf Blitzer must have thought so too, for he asked what was going on. And the reporter said people had gathered to watch the cathedral burn and they were singing. Wolf Blitzer interrupted his own interview and said, "Let's stop and just listen." And for a very long time, a hymn of praise filled the CNN broadcast. While beauty burned, beauty in music and worship rose up. Something spiritual and beautiful filled that singing. Amidst the sadness of the tragedy, the singing brought joy and hope. And I thought the cathedral was being destroyed, but the church was singing. The building with its beautiful art and architecture was crumbling, but the church is not the building. The church is the people, and God's people were singing. Burn the cathedral to the ground. Burn every cathedral and every church in the world to ashes, but the church will go on singing. Worship will continue, for the church is the people of God, filled with joy and hope because of what we commemorate this night. Even amidst hopelessness and despair, the power of God raises up hope. Just consider the powerful restorative acts of God we have witnessed this night. The waters of the flood were rising and God provided an ark. Though the people had rebelled against their creator and committed egregious sins, still God provided a way that humanity be spared. though the army of the Egyptians with all its chariots, weaponry, and skill bore down upon the people of Israel, God provided a pillar of cloud and fire, a passage through the sea, and the people were saved. Though nothing but emptiness and darkness existed, God spoke, and there was light, and a universe sprung into being. Though his only son and hope for descendants lie bound as a sacrifice on the altar, God provided a ram and stopped the child sacrifice, dramatically breaking with the religious cultures of the time and place that regularly practiced the gruesome act of child sacrifice to the gods. And Ezekiel gazes out into a valley of lifeless bones, bones of people so long dead that they were very dry. Israel, driven into exile and oppressed, had given up all hope. And in promising restoration for them, God goes even further and promises the resurrection of people from the grave and the filling of them with his Holy Spirit in this powerful vision. And some women, overwhelmed in grief and sorrow, head out in the pre-dawn early morning with embalming spices to a tomb to anoint a corpse. The great teacher, prophet, miracle worker, and loving healer, Jesus of Nazareth, was dead. And the greatest injustice ever committed to an innocent human being, his body beaten, mutilated, nailed to a cross until it suffocated, is laid stone cold dead in the tomb. But God was not done yet. Something happened on that first Easter morning some 2,000 years ago, and the world has not stopped talking about it and debating it ever since. The hope-bringing, restorative, healing, resurrection power of God raised Jesus back to life. His body was healed. His life was restored. And once again, a situation of desperation and hopelessness was reversed by the power of God. Our God is a God who loves to enter in just when all hope is lost, when the chips are down, when the situation is full of despair. Then he comes and brings life and light and hope. The Israelites are never in danger from the hand of the Egyptians. Humanity was never in danger of extinction from the flood. Abraham was never in danger of losing his son. The universe was never in danger of not coming into existence. Even dry bones were never in danger of lifelessness for all eternity. The Son of God was never in danger of remaining dead. The resurrection power of God was at hand all along. God brings life and light and hope in the most hopeless situations. He always has, and he always will. Paul makes a remarkable statement in his epistle to the Ephesians that connects all of this with us personally. He says that the same power that was in work in raising Jesus from the dead is at work in you who believe. The same power that brought the dead body of Jesus back to glorious life, the same power that saved humanity from the flood, the same power that delivered the Israelites at the Red Sea, the same power that stayed the sacrifice of Isaac, the same power that created a universe out of nothing, the same power that brings dry bones back to life, that same power that has been working time and again in the world, revealing God's glory and love, that same power is at work in you who believe. It is that same power that causes those who are depressed and in despair to sing. It is that same power that comes in the Holy Spirit that can fill worshipers with praise even while a cathedral burns. It is that same power that perseveres, that brings our souls and bodies and raises them to new life, when on that great day we will join with prophets, apostles, saints, martyrs, and everyone who hails Jesus as their Lord through all eternity in singing unending praise to God. What hopeless situation do you face? Are the floodwaters of trouble rising around you? What army of woe is pressing in on you? What are the dry bones of hopelessness in your life tonight? Know that no matter what it is, the power of God is at work in it. Even though the situation about which you despair may result in death, death will come for all of us sooner or later. Still, there is hope because the resurrection power of God carries us through to eternity. Even in this life, when the pain is so great that we feel numb, unresponsive, almost lifeless, like a living death, even still, even in such circumstances, the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead brings life, and the Spirit of life revives us and fills us with hope. These stories we consider this night are not mere fairy tales. God did the miraculous. He acted in history, most clearly of all, despite the Roman guards, despite the hatred and violence of the Jewish religious elite of the day, despite the certainty of death as the spear wound revealed the water had filled his lungs, despite the evidence that Jesus was killed under Pontius Pilate in Roman record, despite the despair of the tiny band of his followers, the resurrection power of God came and turned their fear and despair into boldness and joy. Jesus lives. He is risen. His resurrection power came to the disciples then. It comes to you now. Will you choose to believe? Decide to trust him and know that same power that raised Jesus from the dead at work in your life. Take heart. Have hope. For Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's take a moment and greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Peace, choir. Thank you for being here. Peace, 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 dear. Peace, peace. Peace, Jennifer. And Jennifer, peace. Peace, Rondi. Peace, spaces, peace. Great job. Great job. Peace. I'm going to say a word, but yeah, okay.
You could just take a note from the doxology and say,
okay, I'll try that.
Please be seated. Thank you, choir. That joy of the presence of God that I felt as I listened to that CNN broadcast of the people in Paris, I feel very often as you all sing and lift our hearts in worship. Thank you for being here tonight, Thursday night, and I will see you in the morning. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, also, Richard Somerset Ward, who worries about so many of the details of these services in Holy Week so that I don't have to. Thank you. Thank you to the Altar Guild for service after service and all you do quietly working behind the scenes. Flower team, thank you for the beautiful garden on Thursday and this beautifully adorned altar this evening. Ushers, acolytes, thank you. And Regina, who does so much with such constant interruption, with such a smile throughout this past couple of weeks. Very grateful to one and all. And thank you all for coming out tonight to celebrate the first service of resurrection of our Lord. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts with praise.